Okay, praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles again this morning to Luke chapter 11. We will head back to our foundational text that we've been using for the last three parts. This is part four in our series, the Dumbest Things series. This is the Dumbest Things part four. And if you want to say this is the dumbest thing you ever heard, then go ahead. It's about the dumbest things you've ever heard anyway. Luke chapter 11, and we'll read 5 through 13. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, or that word, King James word importunity means shameless persistence. Because of his shameless persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, I bet the children could even answer those questions. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. I want to encourage everybody here, if you've been seeking the baptism in the Holy Ghost, this scripture is speaking to you. God will respond to your shameless persistence. Keep going to God. Until you receive the manifestation that the Holy Spirit is upon you to do works through you, and the evidence, the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's not the only evidence, but that is scripturally the initial evidence. Until you receive that, continue to pursue and persist in your seeking God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just wanted to throw that in as another application. It's just right there in the scripture. But the main thing that we've been getting out of this, these last three series, and we will again today, is that persistence. That we don't normally get anything from God without persisting in our faith. Our faith should be applied over time. Our faith should be applied with everything that's within us. And if things don't seem to happen, that doesn't mean they're not in the process of happening. So persist in your asking. Persist in your faith. Sometimes it needs to move over from asking to, Lord, I believe I've received. And the asking stops. That's the faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. If you don't have the things hoped for yet, the substance of that is your faith. When you have the faith that says, it's mine, whether I see it or not, it's mine, then faith is the substance of things hoped for. But persist in your confession of your faith. Persist that God is going to honor His Word. He's going to do what He said He was going to do, and what He gave to me will be mine. You can take that to the bank. The New Living Translation says for verse 9, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. It's not enough just to knock. Keep on knocking. It's not enough just to ask. Keep on asking. It's not enough just to seek. Keep on seeking. God will honor your faith. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He will do what he said he will do. And if he did it for one, he'll do it for somebody else. He's not a respecter of persons. If Madeline was healed, anybody can be healed. If anybody got a blessing from God, and if anybody got their bills paid, then everybody else can too. Amen? If anybody can have a marriage healed, then you can have a healed marriage. God can do the impossible and will do the impossible. Part one in our series, and we're not going to go back in hardly any way at all. We have a lot to cover today. But just to mention, part one of this Dumbest Things series, the number one dumbest thing you could ever do is to give up on Jesus. That's the dumbest thing you could ever do. The things that you cannot do yourself, there's nothing you can do to alter the situation. It is humanly out of your control. Jesus can and will. Don't give up on Jesus. In part two, we found out that the number two dumbest thing you could ever do is give up on yourself. Some things in life happen as a result of the partnership of us with God. And it is His strength working through us, but we have to appropriate that and move out and do certain things in order to see a manifestation. And we cannot give up on ourselves. No matter how many times we try and fail, we don't give up on ourselves. Because it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do His good pleasure. God's working in you. Don't give up on yourself. He's not going to give up on you. If He doesn't give up on you and you don't give up on yourself, guess what? The things that you ought to do, you can do and you will do. Amen? See, there's things that we ought to do in life. And everything you ought to do, you can do. Then in part three, we found out that the number three dumbest thing you could ever do is to give up on others. Others are those that are other than, are different from, are distinct from. Distinct from, different from what? Well, us. The group that I'm a part of, the us. Others are those that are not in our group. But in a very real sense, if you continue to distill this and bring it down to its essence, others are everybody who's not me. And we can draw these lines, and we often do, and sometimes it's good to draw those lines, and sometimes we need to erase them, of us and them. We must not only get it right when it comes to loving the Lord and trusting Him, and we must not only get it right when it comes to how we obtain His strength to do the things that we ought to do, we must also get this thing right about others. We cannot ignore this as it is the second greatest commandment. We can't just say it's me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. There's an old song back in the 70s. Many people have lived their life according to that song and according to that sentiment. I don't need anybody else. It's just me and Jesus. Well, it starts out with you and Jesus, but if that's where it ends, you didn't get the essence of what Jesus wants. It's others. It's loving the Lord your God with all your soul, might, and strength, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. That's the second greatest commandment. Jesus Himself said that. We found out that we need others. Others helped us to get to where we are. You didn't get to where you are today just by yourself. Your parents helped you. Your grandparents helped you. The country and society you grew up in, the men of God who labored on your behalf, on behalf of the kingdom of God, we stand on their shoulders. We are here today with the knowledge we have, with the strength we have, with the determination we have, because we come into it with things handed to us. We needed others to get here, and we found out that we need others to get to where we need to go. Others were not just involved in us getting here. Others are required for our path forward. But why do people give up on others? Well, others are different. Different than what? Different than us? Well, really, different than me. And that means that I have to work at a relationship oftentimes. Some people say, I will invest, and they think, they may not say this, but in their heart, this is their attitude, I will not invest in that which is not easy. Different doesn't always have to mean wrong. It can just be different. You like runny eggs, I like them firm. Actually, it's probably the other way around. I like them soft and a little bit runny. Susan likes them rubbery. At least that's how she makes them. Susan, you did it again.
Did I?
Yes, my darling, you did. The last few eggs I've had have been perfect. I don't know what's happened. But God is moving. He's on the move in our household. But if she does like the rubbery ones, which I don't, that her being different doesn't make her wrong. It's wrong for me. But that doesn't make her wrong. She's just different. There's many things about one another that sometimes we judge one another on things that are not right and wrong, good and evil, God versus the enemy things. They're just preferences. And we need to let those things go and stop making people different wrong just because they're different. The greater the difference between people, the easier it is for some people to give in and give up. It's easier for them to walk away than it is to work it out. In fact, the harder it is to understand and identify with others, the easier it is to give up on them. If somebody else, their culture, their upbringing, the way they deal with things, if something about them is that much different than you and it really bothers you, it's so easy to walk away from those people. And again, we're not talking about in right and wrong situations. It's just different. We need to learn to be flexible. Learn to be open. Learn to be accepting of those people who are just different but not wrong. We also found out the reason why people give up on others is not just because they're different, but sometimes people disappoint us and hurt us. Sometimes accidentally, and sometimes on purpose. You know, sometimes people are just hard to get along with. I remember talking to a nurse, I think I told you this once before, that was driving through the gate as I was working in the Air Force, and she was an older lady. She was a major, I think, or lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, but she was a nurse, and she drove through the gate that I worked often, and we'd strike up a conversation, and I'd talk to her, and one day she said to me, she said, Steve, she said, you know what? The more I see of people, the more I like animals. And it can be that way sometimes, because sometimes people are just very difficult to get along with. And it does take work, not just because they're different, but because they're different in an irritating way. And everybody finds them that way. But is that an excuse to give up on somebody? Can anybody change? When Susan and I first got married, we have both changed so much over the years. But when we first got married, it was the practice in the household that I grew up in, when you see somebody for the first time in the morning, to say good morning. In Susan's household, they just passed by one another and just got on with things. And I remember we'd only been married a day or so and got up in the morning. She was downstairs cooking rubbery eggs. And I passed her and I said, good morning. And nothing happened. And I said, good morning. She said, yeah, I heard you. I said, that usually elicits a response. She said, like what? I said, like good morning back. Now, Susan always says good morning now. People change. We don't have to stay where we are. We don't have to lock people in a box. That's them. They're always going to be that way. You know what? There are people that if they search the internet and find me on Facebook and look at me now, will think, that cannot be the same guy that I went to school with. He didn't talk that way. He didn't have those values. He didn't pursue God like, that's got to be a different guy. Well, I am a different guy. I changed. God has changed me. We all change. We need to leave room for people to change. But sometimes we come across people who haven't changed yet, who are very difficult to get along with. Children, when I was in school, I didn't have the privilege of being homeschooled like many of you. But when I was in public school, we would get a report card at the end of our semester. And one of the things on a report card was math and spelling and all these different subjects. And one that I remember from when I was real young, it was plays well with others. And we got graded on that. Plays well with others. How would you like for your teacher, your mom, your dad, to grade you on that? How well do you play with others? Do you get a good mark? Do you get a bad mark? As children, we should learn to play well with others. We should learn to share. We should learn to get along. We should learn to think of others before ourselves. We should learn to defer. How many adults still don't play well with others? I know a few. We need to all learn to play better with others, to get along better with others. But until we do, let's don't give up on one another. Let's keep trying. Let's keep pressing in. Whatever you do, don't do. Oh, before I say that, one thing that I forgot to say last time, it was on my heart to say, and I want to make sure I include it this time, is people give up on others because of the conflict, because of the struggles, because people are hard to get along with, because people hurt and disappoint us. But people also give up, period, because of others. They don't necessarily give up on others. They go beyond that and give up because of others. They quit. They quit trying with anybody because of some bad experiences that they've had. There's a lot of people my age. There's a lot of people a little bit older than me and a lot of people younger than me that I know that I have been around that are Christians but feel very, very jaded. And as a result of it, they have stopped trying, stopped reaching out. They've given up on trying to fit in and to press in. And it's a sad thing, but I tell you, it's easy to do. It is very easy to do. It's easy to give up because of others. It's easy to drop out. Well, I don't need that. I don't need that hurt. If I go back, if I try again, I might get hurt again. Guess what? You probably will. Just figure, as long as you're in this world, that's going to happen. Painful things happen to us. And we just got to love, forgive, get over it, deal with it, go to God. Whatever we have to do to work through it, don't give up on others and don't give up because of others. That's the number three dumbest thing that you could ever do. That brings me to today, which is part number four, and this should be the last part in this series. Now, I know I haven't covered everything from every angle. I know even the biggest struggle when you have a lot to say is finding what you want to condense it down to. It doesn't become a struggle to have enough to say. It's finding what are the right things to say for today. And that's, again, another struggle. I'm going to leave a lot of things unsaid. There's going to be a lot of things that trigger off in your mind. Well, what about this and what about that? I encourage you, if it's a strong thing, then work on it, get up here and preach it. Maybe you're the one that needs to bring that part. I'm bringing the things that God has laid the heaviest on my heart. I know for a fact I had to trim things down to fit into this that I would have said had I had a week to say it. I don't. I just have the 3 hours that they've given me. Our guests are saying, oh dear. Here we go. Mabel, I told you. No, it won't be that long. 2.5 max. Okay, the number four dumbest thing you could ever do is to give up on your dreams. A dream, we're going to have to define the term, because it's always important to define terms. A dream, and the purpose of what we're talking about today, is a cherished or an even God-given, for our purposes, a cherished God-given aspiration, ambition, or ideal. You see, our dreams guide us into the future and give us something of eternal value to apply our energy towards. I'll say that again. There's a lot here. This is rich. Our dreams guide us into the future and give us something of eternal value to apply our energy towards. Our dreams are the focus of our mental and spiritual vision. What are we looking at when we look out into the future? We should be looking into the dreams that God has put into our hearts. They become the tool that gives us direction to our lives and are part of the reason for our uniquely created being. Without a dream, we wander aimlessly through a purposeless life and accomplish random and insignificant things that often go to the grave with us. Without God-given dreams, our lives are just a series of random happenstances. We do a little here, we do a little there, we pursue this, we back off on that, we are interested in that, now we're not. We do this, we do that, we like him, we don't like him, we like her, we don't like her. We're involved here, now we quit, now we're on to something else. Our life is a series of random investments that go nowhere and produce little, and most of what it is produced is left behind as we go on to the next life. Some of you will have heard this before. Nowhere Man by the Beatles. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? I'm going to stop there with the song. Nowhere Man. Who wants to be that guy? I got another sermon brewing down there somewhere. It'll come out later. It says, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Don't be nowhere man. Don't be nowhere lady, woman, child. Be somewhere, headed somewhere, headed in the direction God wants us to head, person. Amen? Now, this is where I'm going to need some help. Let me see here. Man, I got so many potential helpers. First hand up, who wants to help? That's a tie between Ava Lee and... Okay, I'm gonna take Ava Lee and William. William, you come up here first. And Ava Lee, I'm going to use you in a minute, okay? Okay, this right here... This, my grandson Jaden, who's now 15, we bought this when he was just a toddler. And I used to love throwing this at him. And I would have him run across the room. Now, before, I learned this with my own children when they were little. But I used heavier things. I used pillows. But with Jaden, I thought, he's my grandson, not my son. So I'll just hit him with something light. Well, anyway, started off, and ended up with pillows later. Started off with this, and he would go get it and bring it back to me so I could hit him again. And I think every one of our grandkids over the years, this has been what I hit you with. Whether you remember or not, you've all been hit with this. You remember getting hit with it? Then pillows came later. Anyway, I use this because it is light and it's not going to hurt anything. What I'd like for you to do, this right here is a young man who has been given a task to use his life and his life's energy going into the future. This is him being propelled by his now self into the future. Okay? So I want you to, where do you think that should go? I want you to throw it. Now, I don't want you to hit Susan in the face, okay? But wherever you think that should go, I'd like for you to throw it. Okay. Are you happy with that? Did it go where you wanted it to go? Do you think it should go anywhere? Do you think it needs to go anywhere else? So you could live the rest of your life and you're happy with where that went. You want to try again, just in case? Or are you happy? You're happy. Okay. Thank you very much. Good job. Give William a hand. Okay. Now, I want to show you something. I'm the one that gave him that life, pretend. I'm going to represent the Lord now. I'm a poor representation of him, but I'm going to try. Now, if you had only sought me, if you had only asked, if you had only been patient to... And he's just representative. This no, you didn't do a bad thing. Okay. But that is the target. That is the target I wanted you to hit. Man. It sticks to me on both sides and sticks to nothing. Tim, come up here. I need somebody smarter than the tape. That's obviously not me. Tape that up there.
I don't know if me either. Where
do you put it? Oh, up here. Up here. Okay, where's our life force? Avalee, you got it? Okay. Now, Avalee's going to have the advantage of knowing where she is to aim her life force. Now, that's where I wanted it to go. How close... Put it over here more. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
This is the worst tape ever.
All right, Tim, hold it. Okay. This is an angel. All right, Ava Lee, now, I am representing God. You're representing a human being, as you are. And you have a life that's been given you. I want you to use your life to hit that target. So can you come up here? You can also be standing in about the same place that he was. Come on up. Now, I don't know if we got it on camera where the original, not knowing where to aim for, went to. But it went right over here. Okay? Nowhere close to the target. Now, Avalee, I'd like for you to aim your life toward that target. Go ahead. That's close enough. Okay. Right here. Now, that's not in the target, but that's a whole lot closer. Now, Avalee, why don't you come up? Now, from where you last hit, come up here. Can you hit the target from there?
Here.
Can you hit the target?
Yes.
Okay. Let's give Avalee a hand. Okay. Thank you, John. Thank you, William. I'm sorry you had to be the one that failed. Okay. You're not going to fail in life, though, I tell you. That's not a prophecy over you. You will, the prophecy over you is you will succeed in life, not fail. But when William, or the person representing those of us who are not aiming at what God wants us to aim at in life, there's no hope at all of ever getting close to what God wants for us. Our life just goes anywhere and everywhere. We spend our life, our life's force and energy, that which propels us into the future, takes us nowhere. Nowhere God's pleased with. There's an old saying that says, aim at nothing and you're bound to hit it. And that's the truth. You aim at nothing, guess what you're going to hit? Nothing. Let me ask you this question. What Olympic sport have you ever heard of involves a person shooting anywhere they want to shoot and then drawing a circle around the spot where the projectile hit? They don't do that with a basketball court either. You just shoot wherever you want to shoot, and then somebody runs and puts a basket under it. No, many people, however, live their lives according to that sort of mentality. They're aiming at nothing, and they're hitting nothing every day, and they get nothing as a result. Their life has nothing to show for it from an eternal perspective. And all of us have been guilty of this at one time or another, and I don't want anybody to go home dejected. I want you to go home knowing there's a better way. Many people also live their lives according to the modern adage, it is what it is. Anybody ever heard that before? It is what it is. If we are ever to get to a better place in our lives, then we need to get past what it is and start dreaming and working for what it should be, what God wants it to be. Too often we settle, well, that's the way it is. Okay, doesn't take a seeing man to see that. A blind man could see that. What it takes is somebody with spiritual vision to see what it ought to be and to work for a better future. This means that we need to understand where God has placed the target, and we should aim our lives towards it. Now, when we're talking about dreams, there's many other words that we can use. We're going to continue to use dreams here this morning. Remember the cherished aspirations, God-given aspirations, and ambitions and ideals. First of all, there are ordinary dreams. And these are good to have. There's nothing wrong with having a good, ordinary dream. An ordinary dream is to have a better quality of life for you and your family. To make things better. A woman having a dream to make her house look nicer. To put up better curtains. To put a lick of paint here. For a man to do whatever. It could be the man doing that. I'm not trying to be sexist here. But to have this goal of having things better for you and for your family, to live in a better place, to have more pigs, to have more animals. Please, no more dogs. Please. But whatever is in your heart that makes you and your family happy, to pursue that. To accomplish things that make you happier, feel more fulfilled. To do fun things, to go out places. To have a dream of a vacation somewhere. Those are ordinary dreams. Those are okay. Those are good to have. They give you some reason to work towards something on this earth in a small way. But, you know, oftentimes our dreams need to be defined. And they often need to be redefined. What you have a dream of temporarily or temporal right now may not be the dream you have when you're 20 years farther along. Susan and I had a dream of having goats and and was telling the brother back there that we ended up having close to 100 goats at one time. Our dream went to a nightmare. We finally accomplished that dream, but we didn't accomplish that dream for years. It stayed a dream for years. We never had the land. We never had things. And it became something that was just pushed in the background. And finally, when we were able to get there, we applied ourselves towards that. We made it happen. But these temporal dreams can change. They can not only be defined at one point, but they can be redefined later. And that's okay. Those things are good. Dreams, temporal dreams and ordinary dreams can come and go, and there's nothing wrong with having good ones of that. The Scripture also talks about dreams that are evil. It's a longing for and a planning to obtain your wicked desires. In Jude chapter 1, verse 8, there's only one chapter, and this is from the New Living Translation. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams, they believe their dreams are guiding them there, live immoral lives, defy authority, and scoff at supernatural beings. The King James Version calls them filthy dreamers, metaphorically to be carried away to an impious course of conduct. You have dreams of accomplishing purposes that don't in any way help the kingdom of God. They don't even help society. They're not even good for you. But some people have those kind of dreams, and obviously those are not the dreams that we are pursuing and talking about this morning. Then what is the most important is our God-given dreams. The target that God establishes for us. Dreams which move us towards fulfilling our prophetic purpose on this earth. Not just a purpose, not just a manly purpose, not just a womanly purpose, not just a fatherly purpose or a motherly purpose, but our prophetic purpose, our God-given purpose on this earth, and which will give us eternal and give our lives eternal significance. These are the most important dreams and what we'll be focusing on today, these God-given dreams. Colossians 3, verses 2 through 4. Set your affection, set your desires, set your intentions, set your aspirations on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. God-given dreams, things that God puts into our hearts and minds, which provide a target to head towards and a reason to daily press onwards. That is what God-given dreams are. He puts it in our hearts and minds that He gives us a target to head towards and He gives us a reason to press onwards. Our movement toward the target takes us more into Him and into the plan that He has for our lives. Our God-given dreams are worth the many struggles and sacrifices that we face as we steadfastly pursue them. The fulfillment of these dreams is the reason that we spend and are spent. It's the laying down of our lives. For what purpose? For evil dreams? Not us. For ordinary dreams, we can pursue those, but to lay your life down for them and forsake all others and chase after them at the expense of everything else, to be spent, to spend and to be spent to the point, this is my only option? No. Ordinary dreams are not worth that, but our God-given dreams, the God-established target for our lives, is worthy of that. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and onwards, Paul speaking says, "But what things that were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. This is putting every other goal, every other target, every other ordinary thing, which are good in their place, but bad when they take the place of God's target, putting them aside and saying, I'm pursuing only God, I'm pursuing only His will. To that extent, I'm pursuing only what He has for me. I want to accomplish His purposes on this earth. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I may not hit the target first try. I haven't made it there yet, but I still see the target and I'm still throwing towards it. Our helper who threw at a target that he didn't know where the target was, it was just out of his own desires, and I told him to. But how, if that represented God's target for his life, through all the random throw, how many times do you think it would have taken for him to accidentally hit that target? I don't know what the probability is. A mathematician could figure it out. But it's very slim that he would ever randomly hit the God assigned target. But those who have sought God and pursue Him and desire to know His will have a target to aim at. And how many times did it take Ava Lee to hit it? Only twice. It's a lot easier to hit that target. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, or the target, for the prize of the high calling, or the upward, or the heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing toward the target, the high calling, the target that God has established of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. He said, it's not just me. It's not just an apostle. It's not just a preacher. It's not just somebody special in God's kingdom who has a target to pursue. Let everybody who's mature enough to understand this, we all have a target to head towards. Your God-given dreams are the target that He sets out in front of you. God provides the target, but it takes our energy, our focus, our determination to move and to keep moving towards the target. We must allow His grace to propel us toward the target. The applause of heaven is our reward. Again, like we learned in part number two, the dumbest thing you could ever do is give up on yourself. We don't do anything on our own. It's a partnership between us and God. So when we are even pursuing the target that He gave us, we're doing it in His strength. We can only do it in His strength. Ask yourself these questions internally. Don't answer out loud. This is just something to ponder on as we go through the next week. The majority of my life's energy is spent towards pursuing what? The majority of my life's energy, it's not just time, it's mental energy, it's thought, it's meditation, it's preparation. The majority of my life's energy is spent towards pursuing what? Ask yourself this question. I mostly think about what? And I long for the day, finish this question. I long for the day when? If you're pursuing your target then the answer to that question is I long for the day that God's vision for my life becomes a reality. That what God has purposed for me to do, I accomplish. And He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joy that the Lord has prepared for you. I long for the day when I could tell you right now. I could tell you what I'm dreaming for. I'm not going to right now, but I could easily tell you. I can tell you what God's God-given dream has put on inside of me. I can tell you what I long for. I can tell you what I hurt for. I can tell you what I cry out for. I can tell you what I almost quit sometimes over, but I don't, and I keep pressing in. It's that special of a thing. Brothers and sisters, it's not, I'm not the only one that has a dream that propels them forward towards the plan of God. Each and every one of you do. It's a matter of, have we found it? If a dream is from God, it will be for the benefit of others and will include the participation of others. It's a very profound statement. If it is a dream from God, it will be for the benefit of others and will include the participation of others. It won't be just about you. And it won't be done just by you. Others are always benefited by the fulfillment of our God-given dreams. And others are always needed to reach the fulfillment of our God-given dreams. You see, we must work towards fitting in with a team of others in order to accomplish something as big as God's dream. And we must work toward getting the help and support of others in order to accomplish it. You must at times try your hardest to be convincing and persuasive in order to share your dream with others so that they have the confidence to participate. I don't think I've always been the best at that. It's always been my heart. One of the things I guess I need to grow in is how to communicate what God's put on my heart, how to better communicate it, how to better put it out there so it can be understood. But that's what needs to happen because I can't do it on my own, and neither can you. Until God clearly reveals to you the dreams that He has for you, until you know what dream He has for you, and it may take years to find out, but it's there. Until He does, let me suggest this, that you invest yourself in the dreams of others. Luke chapter 16, verse 12 says, "And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" You're not going to get that which is your own until you've learned to invest in that which is somebody else's. You know, not everything in life is a competition. Sometimes it's not about us versus them. It's about all of us winning together. It's about making sure everybody crosses the line. It's about finding who needs help. And if you don't know which way to go, then work with somebody who does. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. They need your help. Later on, you're going to need their help. We all need one another. Invest in others who are dreamers. Build them up. Encourage them. Because it's not easy carrying a dream. It's not easy pursuing a dream. If it's really God-given, we're going to find out in a minute why it's not easy, but it's not easy. If it comes from God, it's not going to be wake up in the morning, get it done by 10. Your support could make a huge difference. The day of your dream will come. Until then, be an avid supporter of dreamers and dreams that you believe in. Be faithful until you get it, then be faithful once you have it. The next thing, if you are pursuing a dream that is from God, it will not violate His word or the counsel of the spiritual authority in your life. If it's truly a dream from God, there will be nothing about that dream that contradicts His word. So we have to make sure we're hearing from God. The word tells us to try the spirits to see if they're from God. Try the voices that tell us this is the dream of your life. Try them. See if it truly is from God. His word will prove it out. And those who are in your life as godly counsel will also be there to help, to verify, to confirm. If you are pursuing a dream that's from God, you will be strongly resisted by the enemy. We're getting close to the end, so hang with me just a little bit longer. If you are pursuing a dream that is from God, you will be strongly resisted by the enemy. If you're throwing it nowhere, if your target is your heart, your desire, the devil's going to let you get on with it because you're not getting anywhere close to this up here. In fact, because you're not aiming where you ought to aim, you may knock a few people on the head in the process, let you get on with it. But if you're truly pursuing God, there's going to be a resistance. There's going to be spiritual attacks, which are often brutal, intense, and well-planned. Listen to this. The enemy of your soul is also the enemy of your God-given dreams. And you will suffer attacks by people. Some people find it their responsibility in life to become the best dream slayers that they can be. They want to do everything they can to keep somebody else down. Number one, it makes them look better. I worked with a bunch of guys one time, and I just got out of the Air Force. I didn't have a career, didn't have a career field, I didn't have a skill. So I got a job as a plumber's helper on a plumbing crew. And all I knew how to do was what they told me to do, run, get this, run, get that, throw sand in this ditch under the pipes, make it level. I was the best sand chunker they had. I could get that shovel and I could take those piles of sand and I could. And they would take a break and I thought, man, I want to learn plumbing. I don't need a break. So I just kept chunking sand in the ditch and they'd sit on the thing and their 15 minute break would turn into 20, 30, 45 minutes sometimes. And I'd still be working. And they'd say, man, sit down. Take a break. You're making us look bad. And I thought to myself, no, you're making yourself look bad. Got nothing to do with me. So, people are used to help put down other people. These people, these dream slayers, are jealous, small-minded, carnally minded, trapped in traditions of men, often earthly and sensual and devilish, the scripture says. People will tell you every natural reason in the world why you should be just as small-minded and fearful as they are. They are not risk-takers for the kingdom of God, and they certainly don't want you to be one either. You'll find plenty of people in life who, instead of supporting you in your God-given dream, will try their hardest to talk you out of it. And I'm not talking about people who love you and who are just trying to make sure you got your head on straight and doing the right thing and headed the right direction. I'm talking about people who just don't want you to succeed and do everything they can in order to do it. I heard a story one time. I don't know if I saw it in a movie. I don't know if I heard a preacher say it as a preacher story. I tried to Google it and to find out where it may have come from. I may have dreamed it. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you anyway. And don't go out and say, this is truth. This is now my preacher's story. when the locomotives were just coming into being, and they laid some track between one town and another, and they were to determine whether a horse-drawn cart would get to the town with a load faster than this new locomotive with a similar load. And so they were all staged. The townspeople of both towns were out, and they came, and the people of one town were at the start line, and the people of the other town were at the finish line, and the horse and cart and load was right beside the track, and the newly laid track and the locomotive were there, and they got the locomotive fired up, and it was... And when the flag went, the locomotive took off, and it started slowly, slowly ticking over. And the people were saying, because it was just so long before it got going, they'll never get it going. They'll never get it going. Ha ha. The horse and the cart had already taken off, and it was getting smaller in the distance. The locomotive was just barely, they'll never get it going. They'll never get it going. They finally got it going, and it started going down the track. And then the people at the other town, which was far enough away for the locomotive to draw side the horse and then pass the horse and cart and get ahead of it, and the people in the other town saw it coming. It was going so fast. They said, they're never going to stop it. They're never going to stop it. They're never going to stop it. Brothers and sisters, people will have from one extreme to the other of something to say to you about what you're doing. Whatever you're doing is wrong. It won't start. It won't stop. They've always got something negative to say. But if you've got a dream from God, you've got to pursue it. And you've got to find others who will invest in your dream with you. Like I already said, I know there's so many other things that we could have talked about today, so many other directions we could take that, but I believe this was right for today. I want you to know that giving up on your dreams, your God-given dreams, is the fourth dumbest thing that you could ever do. Why is it fourth? Number one, you can't do anything without God. Number two, you can't do anything without knowing that you and God are the team that can accomplish anything for today. You can get it done. Number three, you're going to need others. You got here by others, you're going to need others to go forward. And number four, now that you have something to head towards, God in your life, God working through you, God and you in a partnership, not just for today, but for the future, and the help of others, you'll be able to get there. Giving up on any of that is not what we ought to be doing. I want to encourage you, instead of doing the fourth dumbest thing, is to, with shameless persistence, seek, serve, hear, confirm, and then passionately pursue until you reach fulfillment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement of your word. We thank you for that which draws us out of ourselves and towards your plan for our lives. Lord, we thank you that it's not some special few that are chosen to accomplish great things for God. But it's each and every one of us finding our place, finding the dream that you'll place in our hearts, and pursuing it with everything that's within us. Lord, I thank you that our lives are not here just to randomly be spent on anything and everything, but we are to spend and be spent for your kingdom purposes. Lord, help us to determine what those purposes are, what our specific purpose is. Show us, Lord, those that we must partner with and need to partner with that have a dream worthy of investing in. And help us, Lord God, to see your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth that you place us in. In Jesus' name, amen.